Evelyn Glennie is so impressive. What's amazing is that she forged a career as a solo percussionist when basically no one had ever done that before, and she became world famous at it. Glennie was awarded Grammys and other prizes, and even the title Dame Commander of the British Empire by Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth II of England. She's performed all over the world. But what's truly amazing, Evelyn Glennie is deaf. I'm Mick Ebling, and this is Not Impossible, a podcast dedicated to technology for the sake of humanity. This podcast is brought to you by Avnet, a company dedicated to helping creators of all types find whatever they need to get from idea to product and to get their product to market anywhere in the world. Today, a story from Not Impossible Labs. We are an innovative space that brings together engineers, hackers, makers, dreamers, social entrepreneurs, and artists, all dedicated to the idea of tackling the things that just can't be done and then doing them anyway. Our story today poses two simple questions. First, how do people who are deaf experience music? And then, can we create something to enrich that experience? The answers kind of took us by surprise. So to start, I want to tell you about a very special inspiration. Evelyn Glennie is one of my all-time heroes, and one of the first things you'll come to understand about Evelyn is she's someone who relishes tackling the impossible.
Well, I think a lot of it has to do with just the kind of people, I suppose, of the northeast of Scotland. You know, they're hard workers. The terrain is hard.
Right.
Being in the environment of the farming community, you know, they work hard, rain or shine, every single day of the year. You know, the independence and that kind of upbringing
right.
allowed you to think about creating your own opportunities. Once I decided to become a musician, decided to become a solo percussionist, it meant that, well, right, where are the examples? There are none. So let's get on with it. Let's see how far we can go with this.
Evelyn Glennie has had a pretty uncommon passion for music ever since she was really young. She mastered concept after concept, performance after performance, and she started to listen to music differently. She started to literally hear differently.
Well, I had mumps when I was 6 years old. And really after that, just very gradually, I was noticing that, you know, my ears were beginning to be very sore when I went outside. And I also was finding that I was just not picking things up in group conversations. And then all of us at school used to have a hearing test where someone would come in, an audiologist, and she noticed something. And it was really because of her, whereby she said, I think we do need to, you know, get you tested out properly. And so that's when I went into hospital. And then gradually I was fitted with hearing aids.
She hated them.
Suddenly, everything was heightened to an incredible degree. And suddenly the piano, you know, was no longer the piano. It was something that was just bombarding one part of my body. And then, of course, when I started percussion, when I went to secondary school, you know, that was even worse. You know, this uncontrollable barrage, which then, you know, affected your balance as well.
Her percussion teacher stepped in to help.
About the age of 12, he said, well, hold on a second, you know, just as we strike this timpani, there's a tremendous amount of resonance coming from that drum. And he said, well, where in the body are you actually feeling that sound? Not hearing it, but feeling it. And I sort of paid attention and in a way I listened to the resonance, so the strike and then the resonance. And I said, wow, I can feel it in this part of my hand or wherever I felt it. And I put my hands on the wall. And so the vibration really came through the wall, through my hands and so on.
And then he played another pitch on the timpani and she felt it in another part of her hand. And another, and another.
And it went on and on like that. And it basically allowed me to think that, well, hold on a second, sound doesn't just always have to go through the ears.
So she took her hearing aids out.
I was now in control. I could digest sound in the lower parts of my body or in the upper parts of my body. I could really pay attention to the resonance. I had a lot more patience with sound. And it was no longer a case of, oh, that's a bad sound or not a nice sound and, oh, I like that sound, dependent on what you were hearing through the ears. But instead, you know, I love this combination of sounds because of how it felt through the body.
I love that your brain and the way that you experience sound and music had evolved and had grown. Then when all of a sudden society had given you these tools, these hearing aids that could return you back, oh, so benevolently return you back to the way that we all hear, that your response was, ah, oh my God, this isn't that good.
Absolutely right. And I'm a big believer in you know, listening to the body first of all. In the percussion world, you know, I'm still coming across sounds I've never ever heard before in my entire life, so I have to, you know, really listen to the body in order to listen to the instrument and vice versa.
So what Evelyn is talking about is at the heart of something we were trying to do at Non-Impossible, which is to create a device that would allow all deaf people to connect with and delight in and experience music the same way that Evelyn does. But to get there, we needed to know more. We needed to understand what music is like from different points of view. So, for example, from deaf audience members at a concert. So we went to talk to someone who works with those audiences all over the world.
When I first started out as an interpreter in music, I would bring a huge bag of balloons.
Meet sign language interpreter Amber Galloway Gallego. She goes by Amber G.
If you have the balloon, you can feel the vibrations. So deaf people would put it underneath their shirt so they all looked pregnant. But that's how they were able to achieve the vibrations.
I love that. What's with all those pregnant people over there?
Exactly. Men too.
Men are pregnant too? That's crazy. And Amber told us about other ways that deaf people experience concerts. Sometimes performances are arranged where the bass is turned way up, and then the speakers are angled towards the floor to enhance the vibrations. But those kinds of performances, they're often not live, and as you can imagine, they can be pretty intolerable for non-deaf audience members. So even though the listening experience can be heightened for the deaf audience members, a type of auditory segregation continues. As an interpreter, Amber G works in spaces where deaf and hearing audiences are together. She tries to level the playing field, and that means bringing the concert to life. And just for context, picture this woman talking with a bright pink mohawk and a gargantuan smile on her face.
So when that music comes through me, I'm not necessarily dancing like you would see me dancing at a club, because I would be off the hook. I'm just saying.
Describe to the listeners what it means to interpret music, because we've all seen interpreters in different places and they're just moving their hands very fast. And we know that those hands represent a translation of the words that are being spoken. But describe how you translate a song.
When I'm up there, I have to make sure that most of all my movements are very purposeful. So if there's reggae, I need to make sure it looks like reggae. So I'm going to have a reggae movement to me, just like how you would dance reggae. If it's salsa, I'm going to do more hip movement. I'm going to watch how the actual artist is performing so that my movements are going to almost mimic the artist to where it looks like I'm not even there.
Amber has interpreted for Madonna, Little John, Red Hot Chili Peppers, Snoop Dogg, and Adele. She stood in front of audiences of thousands of people. And the thing is that sign language interpreters often feel challenged because they can only really focus on one instrument or voice at a time. And the thing with Amber is that her dance moves help to fill in the overall feel of the song.
I'm using my face and all of the different expressions that show density, that show depth, and how different sounds are very thick, or if you have very high-pitched sounds. My face changes per instrument. There were times when deaf people said, music is a hearing thing. And I said, no, music is a human thing. And it brings us together within humanity. And if we totally neglect that part of the world, I think we're doing a huge injustice for humanity.
A huge injustice for humanity. That's exactly what it is. Longfellow said, "Music is the universal language of mankind." And I love that quote But it used to bother me as well because I thought, wait, how can music be universal if not everyone can hear it? So now we had Evelyn's lessons about feeling the music and Amber's emphasis on the full range of all the instruments and for all people to be listening together. So it was time for us to get back into the lab at Non Impossible and figure out, what could we bring to the table? How could we develop a way for audiences, deaf and hearing, to listen together to all the different components of the song, the bass, the drum, the guitar, and the vocals, and at the same time, listen with our full bodies? We'll tackle that question after the break. This is a podcast dedicated to technology for the sake of humanity. But it's also about the people behind that technology. If that's you, Avnet can help, no matter what you build. Why? Because they are the first company ever to offer true end-to-end solutions for product development in-house. That way, creators in any corner of the world can take an idea from prototype all the way through mass production. Are you a startup, an established OEM? Do you need help designing your product or organizing your workflow or getting stuff to market? Avnet's got your back. Your world is one that's always changing, and that's why Avnet is here to help you reach further. And we want to give a special shout out to Avnet's engineering communities, Hackster and Element 14, who help creators vet and invent the technology of tomorrow. Want to do more than just listen to this podcast? Maybe something like taking on the next Not Impossible challenge? Go to podcastnotimpossible.com to find info for you and for anyone who wants to take their project one step further. Back to our story. It was time to bring what we'd learned about how deaf people experience music back to Not Impossible Labs, to translate that into, well, we weren't exactly sure what we were going to translate that into. But little by little, we figured it out. After a few false starts, and at Not Impossible Labs, we're pretty famous for our false starts, we hit an idea. We started calling it Music Not Impossible.
It's a platform for delivering vibrations on the skin in a crafted and very precise way.
This is Daniel Belker, the director of technology at Not Impossible Labs.
You put a vest on and you put a set of wrist and ankle bands on, and that's it. Each wristband and each ankle and four different regions of your torso receive vibrations crafted by the system and being transmitted wirelessly.
Using something called vibrotactile transmission, we created something that you can wear that allows music to be felt, perceived, heard all over your body. Daniel studied a chart that I love in order to figure this stuff out.
Basically, we have a chart, and it's called...
My favorite word, the homunculus.
Homunculus, yeah. We have a draw of a very weird man with the proportion of the body parts changed to match the feeling of touch. So you have huge lips, he has huge hands, he has a very small torso, and so on and so on.
So the more sensitive that part of the body is, the more attuned it is to sensation, and then the bigger it is on the homunculus.
This model gives us a lot of information on the neurological side.
One would think instantly that genitalia, oh, that's, well, you should put all the sensors there, put all the vibrations there. That's going to be the most reactive to the vibration. Uh-huh. But that's not the case, is it?
No, because this is actually, Mick, it's not exact the sensation, but the discriminatory points. The distance between the points you can feel. So in your wrist, if an ant is walking by, you can feel like extremely narrow. But here on the chest, like 2 inches.
So by zeroing in on the parts of the body with the strongest discriminatory points, we developed this awesome platform.
After trying many, many techniques and approaches and actuators and blah, 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 cutting off the technical stuff, what we are providing now, I'm calling a surround body experience.
A surround body experience.
You have like vibrations that start on your ankles and go up to the bottom of your neck, And as the music goes up, you feel the vibrations moving across your body as a surround body experience. So we can move different intensities and rhythms across the body, giving a totally new experience that now relates very closely to music.
Your body becomes like an orchestra. The horns here, the strings there.
You can craft each individual spot on your body precisely. So you can have a strong vibration on your left wrist and a mild one on your right wrist. Usually we put the drum beats and the more percussive elements on the ankles because it feels natural to people. And an interesting thing to point is the deaf community came to me and said, we would like to feel the drums on our wrists. And I was very intrigued by that. I said, why? And then they said, we want to wave our wrists in the air with the music, with the crowd, and it's easier for us if you feel the beat on the wrist.
That all sounds great in theory, but I'm always a little nervous when we try these things out. We invited some hearing friends and a few deaf friends into the backyard of our lab, and we suited them all up together.
All right, is everybody good? Yeah. No problem, everyone's got wrists and ankles going?
We gave everyone a preview of the instrument placements. Keyboards in the middle of the back, bass at the spine.
The middle section of your back has the keyboards now. Fender Rhodes, your electric piano.
Got it.
Your spine has the clavichord.
Got it.
Get ready for the full band to start playing.
Ready?
So ready!
I was dying to know what our team of testers had to say. And what they had to say was music to my ears.
I'm Kylie Herrera.
Amber G was there to help interpret.
I'm profoundly deaf. My expectations were that I was going to be able to feel the bass. So when I put it on, I couldn't believe it because I could feel this instrument and that instrument. And I could feel it in all different areas of my body. And then I also felt so connected to the hearing people around as well. I understand it for the first time because I understand that that's what they're hearing with all the different instruments at the same time.
Hello, my name is Josh Castillo. I'm wearing a vest that's like made of like a denim jacket, kind of. I guess I should go back. It's as if without my hearing, it's like looking at a canvas of art and the colors are all kind of like blurry. So you can't really see anything. Then with my hearing aids, I can see the colors. I just don't know what they're making. With this vest, I add the outline and I actually see that it's a forest filled with trees and there's a pond with ducks. This vibration helps me define the music in a way that helps me to understand what's happening.
I'm Jules Dameron. My family is full of musicians. Like deaf people typically have to always rely on an interpreter and look through everything with my eyes. I have to be in a specific area. But with this gear, Music Not Impossible, I was able to look all around. I could talk with my friends. I could still feel the music and be involved. I even went to the restroom and I could feel the music still. I really truly believe in empowerment, and I finally felt empowered and independent. Sometimes we have our challenges and our barriers, but this broke all of those down.
Breaking down barriers is just what we set out to do, to allow deaf and hearing audiences to love music together side by side. It was great. We had achieved our goals. But like all great goals, thanks to our collaborators and testers, we realized we hadn't aimed high enough.
I don't feel the way I used to. The sky is gray much more than it is blue.
Mandy Harvey is a professional singer who became deaf when she was only 18. She didn't let that stop her performing, but it's been different.
I don't perform for myself anymore. I don't understand, I don't feel. So I perform all these songs, but I don't get the enjoyment. So I perform for other people.
We invited Manny to put on the full Music Not Impossible gear, the wristbands, the ankle bands, and the vest, to connect to her own voice in a whole new way.
If I would try.
Oh, that's weird.
Try.
She told us that as a performer, she felt that Music Not Impossible had the potential to give her freedom on stage, to feel where the music was coming from and which instrument was playing without constantly having to look around.
When you're playing jazz a lot, you have the different instruments that are playing. They have solos, so you have to look around the whole time, constant, but you don't get to relax. Just always work. So if I could feel, hear piano solo, and then all the other instruments back off, so you can tell it's a specific solo, and then you can feel it switch, all right, boom, saxophone.
Remember, we had placed the vibrations of each instrument in a different part of the body, the piano in the ankles, the bass guitar in the base of the spine, that kind of thing. But then as Daniel and Mandy and I sat in the backyard and talked, she gave us a new way to think about Music Not Impossible. Mandy asked us, what if, let's say, the same way a sax solo moves up and down the scale, what if we were able to have that feeling move up and down your body as well?
You can tell if the note's going up or down?
Yeah, we can create that, yeah.
That would be cool.
We figured out how to incorporate that idea into Music Not Impossible, so now it can do that too. But let's be clear. Are we the first people to ever figure out how to use vibration to express sounds? No, far from it. There's other companies out there that let you immerse yourself in the feeling of music and games, or all those vibrational gaming chairs. Heck, go all the way back to Sensoround in the 70s, the vibratory experience in movies like Earthquake and Midway. It's never about being the first to think of a new technology. It's about finding ways to make that technology act in the service of humanity. That's what we set out to do. That's what we always set out to do at Not Impossible. So in the end, did we allow deaf people to hear music? Of course not. That was never the point. What we did was learn for ourselves that our own way of experiencing music, the thing we call hearing music, is just one way to experience it. And when we stepped out beyond our own way of doing things, interpreting things, and experiencing the world from our own point of view, when we let go of that, we suddenly found that goals we thought were unattainable had become not impossible. So that's our show for today. Thanks for listening. Thanks again to our sponsor, Avnet, a company that provides true end-to-end technology solutions to help people who make, well, anything, anywhere in the world, reach further. And I want to invite you to go check out their communities, Hackster, the world's fastest growing developer community for learning, programming, and building hardware, and Element 14, the biggest designer-engineer community on the planet. You can find links to their websites on ours, podcastnonimpossible.com. The incredible Jocelyn Frank was our senior producer for this episode. Our associate producer is the wonderful Vicky Shirer. Thanks also to George Lavender and Timber, Orange Free Sounds, Lucky Little Raven, and Inspector J. Our director of partnerships, Joe Babarski. And our development director is Aaron Sullivan. And our executive producers are Phil Lerman and me. I'm Mick Ebling. Until next time, remember, some things that you think can't be done just can't be done yet. Despite all appearances, they're not impossible.